You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Greetings to everyone out there. How is everyone doing? I hope all of you are doing great. I hope all of you are feeling wonderful. And yes, it has been quite a while since I was on air with you all. This is Juan Pablo Padilla. I will be the host for today's Lifelong Journey radio show, the radio show for the Office of Lifelong Formation at the Archdiocese of Chicago's Department of Parish Vitality and Mission. And I am so glad to be back for this one-timer, maybe hopefully even more. We don't know. But I am here today as your host because I will be interviewing the wonderful voice that you are normally accustomed to listening to as you are getting ready to start your day. And I am pleased to say that this day today, our guest is Clarissa Algentera. Clarissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a beautiful day. I have gotten to do a retreat recently and gotten to spend some time doing some training for work. And so I'm just really grateful to be here.
Excellent. I know that the last time we were on together, you were actually interviewing me on Theology on Tap. And I know that you recently had a Theology on Tap talk yourself. So hopefully that all went well for you.
It's
been a pleasure. So, you know, thank you so much for all that you do. And thank you for inviting me on to be a host today with you as well.
So. Yeah, I know. Listeners who are tuning in right now might think, hey, weren't these two just on like a couple weeks ago and now they're back? So we're trying to fool them, maybe.
Completely different reality, though.
Yeah.
We were talking about Theology on Tap the last time and I was the one answering all the questions.
Yeah.
But now the tables have turned. And I will now be asking a series of questions because we're going to be talking about something very wonderful today. And it's a topic that I have a personal passion for, that I find that more and more we need to pay attention to it. And before I go ahead and tell you what that topic is, I just want to take a moment right now to remember all of the people that have suffered greatly as a result of some of the mass shootings that have taken place. Not only in El Paso, not only in Dayton, but also in areas like our own city in Chicago. We take a moment to reflect and pray on every family that has substantially changed tremendously as a result of this reality that we're living in. And, you know, we need to pray. So this is just an invitation to remind all of us, including myself, that we are in a moment where we need to pray. So I don't want to start on a sad note. I actually want to make it more of a hopeful note that through prayer, things are actually going to get better, and asking always the Holy Spirit to renew the face of our earth and our reality. And on that note, we are going to go enter into the topic because I think it somehow ties back into the general subject of hope. And when we talk about hope, I always think about the children. When I look at children, when I look at little kids, when I look at babies, toddlers, I see in their eyes an entire life that has so much hope and so much energy to bring forth a renewed way of living for us all the time, you know. And I am always like loving to see how their eyes are always full of life, mm-hmm. full of love. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about children's ministry. And Clarissa is going to be walking with us. But we're going to talk about children's ministry in light of accompaniment through the eyes of community.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that sounds like a lot, right? But relax. Clarissa is here, and she's going to help us, and she's going to walk through us with that. And so, you know, Clarissa, I want to start by asking you, why is this children's ministry, this accompaniment of children's ministry through the eyes of community, why is it so relevant today? Why, in your opinion, do you think this is such an important topic for us nowadays?
Yeah. Thank you, Pablo, first for having me on my own, the office's radio show. And so it's great to switch places. And in some of the research that I've been doing as the coordinator of children's ministry in the short time that I've been doing it, a lot of what we found is that oftentimes what we need to think about is accompanying not just the child, but the child, the parents, and in some cases, the teachers or the catechists. I think sometimes we ignore the fact that the children is not just a child in his or own self. It's like the child is part of a family. And so how are we better at intentionally being in a relationship with the entire community that's supporting the child? And so in the case of one of the things I'm thinking about is this Missionary Discipleship Institute that we're starting with a select number of pilot schools in the Archdiocese. And part of the reason it looks so different is that we are accompanying everybody at the school, the parent, the child, the teacher, the principal, the pastor. And that's so different that I think there's a lot of hope in that. And I think people really should genuinely think about it differently and care about it, is because they're all part of communities. We're all part of families. We're all part of parishes, you know, and so this could be us. And how do we support people who are, you know, doing children's ministry when we think about what ministry could look like?
Okay. And in terms of accompaniment, what is something that you imagine, or how have your team, how have they envisioned accompanying the actual children in their ministry as a community? I mean, what could potentially that look like?
I think one of the things it is starting to look like in the research we've done, I mean, the team has only been really doing this for probably 3.5 months. And a lot of what we're finding is how to better accompany families and how to better accompany parents. And so a big part of that, as you probably know in some of the ministry that you've done, is it's listening. It's a lot of, like, how are we listening to people? How are we listening to their needs? How do we actually do this in an effective way? And so an example I have is with the Missionary Discipleship Institute, we're partnering with Maryknoll, and we're working with 7 schools in the Archdiocese, and specifically 7th graders, because it's geared to be part of confirmation. And so we have identified a number of schools throughout the Archdiocese, both some who are lower socioeconomic and some who are maybe higher socioeconomic. And some of the things we were hearing was that principals were like, hey, we don't have the staff to do this. We feel that we don't feel adequate to kind of run this process this year, and we just don't have any money. And so our job was to really take that, hear what the principals were saying, and say, well, how do we find ways for you to do this as inexpensive as possible? Because we want you to succeed, not like for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of, like, intentionally being in relationship with parents and children.
And I like that you mentioned that you start off by listening. I mean, it reminds me of the way to Emmaus in many ways, how Jesus encountered these two disciples, but ultimately engaged with them through a simple process of asking them, hey, how are you guys doing? And that I think it's very valuable in understanding how to actually accompany children. And the fact that you've taken the time to just really listening in on what's going on, what's the actual reality, what's actually happening, I really think that is a wonderful, you know, way of approaching accompanying children with community, which is different from, let's say, just starting something, assuming that you already know what's going on. I mean, I really think that as a personal opinion, it's really wonderful that to hear that is how this is all taking off. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So please stay tuned with us here at the Lifelong Journey Radio Show.
To love God, we must honor all that God has created. To love our neighbor requires us as Christians to preserve and protect all that sustains life. Join us on Sunday, September 1st from 4 to 6 p.m. at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish in Glenview for the celebration of the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. We invite you to join Bishop Mark Bartoszek and many other Catholics and Greek Orthodox for this special 5th annual prayer service. Greek Orthodox scholar Reverend Dr. Deacon Perry Homilis will give the post-service lecture. We'll celebrate God's gift of creation and our universal responsibility to preserve and protect our common home. We look forward to your attendance at this year's World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Glenview on Sunday, September 1st at 4 p.m.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Pastoral Migratoria Ministry is expanding from Chicago to dioceses across the United States. We'll take you to the annual Sunrise Mass for Nonviolence at Oakwood Beach, and we'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about the latest mass shootings in our nation and everybody's right to live without violence.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Show of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Lifelong Formation. We are here today. My name is Juan Pablo Padilla. I am your host this wonderful day. And my guest is actually someone that is typically your host, Clarissa Algentera. So if you're just tuning in, we're actually talking about something very, very important. It's called children's ministry and accompaniment through the eyes of community. Now, we were already talking about, Clarissa, about what this accompaniment looks like. You were sharing a little bit about who you're partnering up with and how you're beginning to walk with families where the children are actually at. You know, let's hope that that is where the children are actually at within the context of family. Of course they are. But the next question I had for you was in terms of the ministry itself. You mentioned something that may be new to some of us. Certainly was new for me at a certain point. Maybe for some of our listeners is something completely new. Something that's probably never been coined before. I don't know if it has, but children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, and why is it so important?
That's such a broad question, and I think the way I've just defined it for other people is it's ministry at the parish level for people under the age of 12, because oftentimes, you know, people will go on to junior high ministry or middle school or youth ministry. And so I thought about, you know, anybody under the age of 12 or 13. And so the reason it's so important is that there's so many children in our religious ed programs, in our Catholic schools, and kids in our community, you know, who are looking for and maybe longing, well, maybe not longing, because I don't know if as a 10-year-old I was really longing to find Christ on a Saturday morning. But I think it's important that we show people in our communities that we're there for the families. And so how are we ministering to them? How are we helping them to teach their kids, you know, where and how they encounter Christ? I mean, that's a lot of what we're thinking about. A lot of times when we've thought about children's ministry, one of the traditional old school models perhaps is the kid comes for sacramental prep, and then we evangelize and we go through the children because they go home and they tell their mom or dad, like, this is what I learned or this is what I thought was great. But now one of the things we're thinking about is, like, well, we have to evangelize the parents as much as we do the children. And we all know good adult faith formation, or good faith formation in general, is really speaking to the adults in the lives of the children. So how are we being intentional about beefing up resources for parents and opportunities for relationship building? How are we beefing up, you know, relationship building and community opportunities for the catechists and parents, as well as the teachers? One of the things that I I'm going to keep kind of going back to the pilot because I think it beautifully illustrates the potential in what children's ministry could really look like in the Archdiocese. And one of the things that's different than just giving someone a curriculum, like a teacher's handbook or something like that, is we want them to come to a formation day, and we want to help them build community. We want them to have a partner teacher. So that way, you know, when things aren't going so great and they need to talk about why this isn't working, or maybe they need to share a success, there's someone who's there with them. And I think throughout the school year, we've built in opportunities for the teachers to be in community with each other. Because if I believe the way this is set up is that if we can see it intentionally working, I mean, think about the power of a community really walking side by side together to accomplish a mission or to build a community.
It reminds me of that very celebrated phrase that was going around for a while. It takes a community or it takes a village to raise a child. It sounds great, right? It sounds wonderful. But I always ask the question, well, what does that actually look like? How does it actually happen? And where does it happen? So I really think that it's fascinating that you're starting at a place that most of us would think it's a you know, for lack of a better word, a common sense kind of place to start, which is, in this case, with those that are already attending, for example, religious education program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, you would imagine that, well, they're already being accompanied. There is already some kind of ministry going on there intentionally with children. But what you're talking about is something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you're talking about is not only understanding and knowing how to meet the children where the children are at, and how they view their entire reality in their young age. I mean, even though as little as they may be, they already have some kind of an idea of themselves possibly and how they think about certain things. So it's interesting that you're going to be, you know, paying attention to who they are. But the other element of it is not only are you meeting where the children where the children are at, but you're also attempting to meet where the parents are at. And I think that that is really something extraordinary. And you know, one of the things that I've seen, at least in ministry, and just to share with you, is those are some very, very key elements to building relationship, is just knowing where we're all at. So imagine parents that really understand where their children are at, not just assume they know. And then at the same time, parents realizing where other parents are at, and maybe even the child understanding where their parents are at. It sounds really complex, but I think that, you know, children's ministry, that's something that's very unique. And I love the fact that you were speaking to that. You know, it's how are we going deeper than just the curriculum? How are we actually asking the question that is more relevant to their own life,
mm-hmm.
not just the knowledge that they need to know, but what is the actual experience of life that they're having in faith? So on that note, we're going to go ahead and take another quick break, and then we'll be right back. So please stay tuned with us.
Do you serve your parish as a cantor or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? If so, Liturgy Training Publications is offering online formation this fall that will deepen your understanding and practice of your ministry. From the cantor's tune-up to preparing to serve as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, there is a workshop designed to meet your needs and enrich your ministerial experience. There are 3 options available for cantors and psalmists, and 3 offerings available for communion ministers. Take 1 or take all 3. For dates and registration information, please visit ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800. That's ltp.org, or call 1-800-933-1800.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back, everyone. Greetings to all of you that are just tuning in. And for those of you that are hanging on, thank you for staying tuned with us. If you are now joining, we are talking about children's ministry and accompaniment through the eyes of community. And today I am here, Juan Pablo Padilla, hosting, and I'm actually interviewing my guest, which is normally your host, Clarissa Algentera. So it's a very blessing to be here. And again, we are talking about something that it's very important, something that sounds new, although it may not be new, but it definitely sounds new to some of us, at least for me it did. Children's ministry, intentional ministry, holistic and comprehensive ministry with children and with their parents within the context of a family and the different areas where children are at. Starting in this case, we've been talking about the Catholic schools, but we're also talking about the religious ed programs and different scenarios where children are present or engaged in our communities. Clarissa, as a minister yourself, tell us a little bit about how you became interested in ministry and how you were called to enter into ministry. And if you feel called to share something about as far back as your early childhood days as well, I mean, you know, please do. So we're all curious, I guess, to understanding how did Clarissa Algentera engage in ministry? Why ministry?
Sure. Well, it's a story, interestingly enough, when you sit in the host chair, you hear similar stories. And I think it really speaks to the power of relationships and engagement as like a teen slash youth. And it started for me probably in junior high or high school when I was really involved in ministry. Like as a senior in high school, I was on my high school's campus ministry team, and I went to a Catholic high school. I was blessed to attend a Catholic high school. And we met once a week, like a regular, I don't know, period, you know, seventh period math, and you'd have seventh period campus ministry. And it was 12 or 15 of us, I forget. And we would get to know each other. We were in relationship with each other. We put on retreats for the school, freshman retreat, senior retreat, whatever. And so we got to practice icebreakers, got to know each other, really got to put our mission and discipleship into practice. And I remember thinking, I wanted to do ministry at a deeper level, you know, as an adult. And so that was always a seed that God had planted on my heart. And so I found recently, I recently did Peace Circle training at the Precious Blood Ministry of Reconciliation in Back of the Yards. And the training that we did for Peace Circles really reminded me of why I got into ministry. And a lot of it, as most ministers know, and those who are active in the community, it's all about relationships and how are we building relationships and looking out for the other person and building those, like strengthening those ties. And so I really saw working and living as a lay minister as an opportunity to kind of continue to build those ties.
One of the things that you're mentioning right now, it's also, I recall a conversation I was having with a colleague of mine not too long ago, and the conversation was around, as a child, who in your life was there that shared their faith with you? And how was that like? And I was recalling that as a child, I remember that, yes, I was blessed to have a very Catholic family that in many ways, I thought that it was just part of who we always were. Like Mass, the Rosary, just being Catholic in and of itself was just part of who we were as a family. I never actually saw myself out of that. And it influenced me as a child in a very positive way, because from very early on, I understood that there was a God that saw me in every way, shape, or form. Not that judged me, but that knew me in a way. And that was always comforting to know that there was this higher being that was there. Of course, as a child, I wasn't really aware of it. But I remember that, you know, now that you're talking about relationships, it's the relationship that my family had with me in terms of not just me as a child within the context of the family, but almost as they were stewards of my soul, kind of a feeling. And so I really appreciate the fact that you're bringing up this point of relationships, because as a matter of fact, later on in my young adult years, it was because of relationships that I remained in the faith and engaged in the faith. So any thoughts in terms of, or any other things you would like to add in terms of how not only was your personal life influenced by it, but how maybe some other examples of maybe other children you know that were or other people that you've talked to that because of that relationship, because of the way the faith was shared, they're able now to be free and willing to live out their faith.
In the past couple of months, I've had an opportunity to speak with some of our coworkers. Before you, well, the first guest I had was Adrian Badillo, and he talked about when he was a youth, middle school, or maybe a little bit younger than middle school. Our colleague Victor Vallejo, he's also talked about as a young person. Ken Velasquez, he's also talked about, and I'm just thinking about the last few conversations I've had in here with our colleagues who've talked about, you know, as a young person, someone reached out to them, someone cared, there was an adult in the community who wanted to see them succeed. Not necessarily like in a specific field or subject, but just wanted to see them succeed as a child. And I think it's that caringness, the compassion that adults have shown a lot of us who, you know, were fortunate enough to work with in lifelong formation, that if it wasn't for those adults or those grown-up relationships, I don't know how many of us really would have considered lay ministry a vocation. I mean, seriously considered it, so.
And I think that's one of the valuable things, because as we are talking about ministry, you know, it reminds me of one of the early lessons I learned about ministry very, very early on when I was in formation, when I was being more serious about answering my call to ministry. And that is that at the heart of it all, not only is there the person of Jesus at the heart of any ministry, but it is also ministry in and of itself tends to be in its own heart relational. And I think that is one of the things that's valuable here, that we are not saying to the child, don't speak when grown-ups are speaking, but we're saying, and how do you feel about this? Or engaging the child in a much more different way than before. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So please stay tuned, and I really hope you're all enjoying this great conversation we're having with Clarissa. We'll be right back.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to catholiccharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show, the radio show for the Office of Lifelong Formation at the office at the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I was practicing that, but you know, sometimes practice makes perfect. It's just a lot.
It's a lot. You know, it's to get in one breath. So hey, I think you did a great job.
You know, we try. So taking deep breaths and just, you know, making it flow is what we're going to continue to practice in terms of our cueing back in. But thank you, everyone, for sticking around with us. Thank you, all of you that are joining in right now. We are talking about children's ministry, accompaniment through the eyes of community, and what all of that looks like. And we've already shared quite a lot. So thank you for coming in at the halfway mark of our radio show here. But, you know, one of the things that I brought up earlier in terms of ministry, and one of the things that I like to use as a roadmap for my own self in terms of ministry, is the actual scripture passage on the way to Emmaus. Mm. You know, we have this Jesus who is unrecognizable by the disciples. They're walking in the wrong direction the whole time. Jesus never corrects, never stops, never yells, never says, hey, guys, you're going in the wrong direction. He just keeps walking, asking questions, engaging, becoming involved in their lives, accompanying them until eventually they invite him and they recognize him. My personal favorite passage in terms of doing ministry is that passage, Luke 24, starting at verse 13, more or less. But for you, Clarissa, in terms of children ministry or for any type of other ministry that you've engaged with, is there a scripture passage that touches your heart, and particularly in the area of ministry that you're currently working with? And how does this passage guide you in your life as you continue to do ministry?
Thank you. I am also a big fan of Emmaus. And oftentimes, in previous years, I think the Emmaus story has really resonated with me. And I would say recently, probably since moving on to children's ministry and kind of moving away from like young adult stuff, and I was recently doing marriage and family ministry, I really find inspiration in Woman at the Well. And so it's John chapter 4, verses 1 to 42. So it's a huge, long passage. But I love that it happens around water. I'm originally from the West Coast, and so water, I think, always has been a big image for me. But they're just sitting down. You know, she's sitting down. He's there. She's there. It's the middle of the day. It's hot. It's like 100 degrees plus humidity, and you're just like sweating and the sun's beating down on you. And so we've all been there because it's summertime, and so we get it. And here she is, like, she's there, he's there. He's like, hey, give me some water. Give me something to drink, right? And she's like, okay. And, you know, and they start to have a conversation, you know. And I think the perception is maybe you show up at the well and the other person who's there, they're thirsty, you're thirsty, and you think, I'll get my water and go on. But in that dialogue, in that conversation, we hear her kind of really transform. She's like, whoa, whoa, hold on. Who are you? Like, what do you mean life-giving water? What do you mean you're the Messiah? What do you mean all these things? What do you mean, like, you know about my life? And in that slow reveal that she does with Jesus, and he just is encouraging her and says, hey, tell me more, she finds out that he's really, like, he's it. He's, like, the life-giving water that she's been hearing about. And so Jesus says to her, you know, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so she was thirsty. Like, she was, like, thirsty. I mean, they were both thirsty, but, yeah. So that's what I see is, like, that when we go into parishes or when we start talking with families and we start talking with the communities, it's like really there's a thirst for knowing Jesus, a thirst for wanting their child to encounter Christ and have a relationship with Christ in a way that is substantial and real.
Can I take that on that same vein on the topic of thirst? Because it appears often in the Bible. It's not just a one-time thing in that particular passage. And I right now, as we were having this conversation, and as you were sharing with me and our listeners about this passage that you like, I noticed something interesting something jumped out at me right away, and it's something that's very key and very important in relationship. You have two people, the woman at the well, the Samaritan, and Jesus, that are both thirsty, and they are both sharing with each other the different type of thirst that they have. That, I think I don't know about our listeners or about yourself, Clarissa, but when I get thirsty, I feel vulnerable, you know? So I don't know if you would mind, you know, going into maybe expanding on the idea of or the phrases on thirst or the experience of thirst and the sharing of each other's thirst in the scripture and how it connects back to vulnerability and how is that important in relationship building?
I think with the idea of being thirsty is that there's a basic human need that needs to be met. Like you just are parched, or maybe it's the sun is beating down on you again, you know, like in this image. And so it's the idea that there's something that needs to be met. There's a longing for something that will not make you thirsty, not make you sweat, not make you feel hot. You know, whatever that basic human need is. And in this instance, we see that what she is seeking, kind of the eternal, is something that he talks about. I also like that in this image, there's probably assumptions that they're making of each other. You know, one of the things when we were talking about circle training and the training I did recently with the Precious Blood Ministry was that we know anytime, you know, we come into a space with people, there's probably assumptions that we're making about people and that people make about us. And so what are the assumptions that they made about each other that day? That after listening and being in conversation and having each other's thirsts be fulfilled, they were like, oh, you're actually not the person I thought you were. You're not this person in the middle of the day who I'm meeting at the well. And, you know, all these things that, you know, because the other thing that we hear in the story is they're not even supposed to be talking. You know, and so those assumptions are kind of turned upside down. And here they are breaking bread. But the most beautiful thing I like about this and what I think we're called to do through Renew My Church, especially when we're looking at the different ministries we're working with, is that she leaves this space, right? She's transformed and she's like, she wants to just go out. Like, she doesn't just want to tell her best friend. She doesn't go home and like tell the people she lives with. She's like, I'm headed out. And you see the description in the Bible where you're like, she's just out running through the town. And that to me is the beautiful image that I carry with us when I think about, you know, how we're working with children and families.
And that just brought a beautiful image to my mind of imagine children running to other children and sharing the love of Jesus and all of that and all of that, what that means. So on that note, you know, we're going to go ahead and take another break. But please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few. Thank you.
This is Monsignor Michael Boland for the Voice of Catholic Charities. Every 30 seconds, someone comes to Catholic Charities for help. When that help includes legal needs, our Legal Assistance Department offers a wide range of services to give hope and help to vulnerable clients in need. Whether it's a dispute with a landlord, a concern about possibly being the victim of a scam, or an issue regarding family law, clients can feel alone in the complex legal system if they're unable to afford an attorney. Our volunteer attorneys answer our legal advice line, offer one-hour consultations in their areas of expertise, and conduct legal seminars that help low-income individuals. These volunteer attorneys come when their schedules permit, and they often tell us they are grateful for the opportunity to share what they know with someone in need. If you are an attorney and would like to learn more about this volunteer program, please call 312-948-6821. That's 312-648-6821. Thank you for considering joining this wonderful group of Good Samaritans.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Pastoral Migratoria Ministry is expanding from Chicago to dioceses across the United States. We'll take you to the annual Sunrise Mass for Nonviolence at Oakwood Beach, and we'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about the latest mass shootings in our nation and everybody's right to live without violence.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the top of the ninth inning, and we are here with the Lifelong Journey radio show for the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Department of Parish Vitality and Mission. And here we are with Clarissa Arlton-Terra. If you are just joining, we've been talking about a wonderful topic, children's ministry, accompaniment through the eyes of community. And we've already shared such a wonderful conversation. So thank you for staying with us if you've been with us from the very beginning. And if you're just joining, welcome to what has become a really, really wonderful conversation on children's ministry. Clarissa, I really love that you shared with us that wonderful passage of Scripture, the woman at the well, and how you stopped at not only the idea of thirst and the vulnerability that meant in strengthening a relationship between Jesus and this unknown woman, the Samaritan woman, and then how at the very end, you know, of their dialogue, she is filled with joy and goes out and proclaims that the Messiah is, in fact, among us. And, you know, that passage in and of itself is so wonderful. And there is so much to draw from it for many, many different types of ministries. But in particular, to the ministry of children and accompanying children within the context of ministry as a community, in your own personal thoughts, how does this scripture and how accompanied with some church teachings, what do they say about the reality of or the realities that may come with the accompanying of children or doing children's ministry?
Sure. Well, two of the things about this scripture really stuck out when we're talking about children and families. The first is the fact that sometimes we make assumptions. We assume that a family shows up with two or three kids and maybe they've been away from the church for a while. You know, we assume that maybe their intention may be different, like, oh, maybe they just want the sacraments and they really don't want that relationship with Christ. But really, if we sit with them and we really listen to what their needs are, maybe it is, yeah, maybe being here at this parish doing faith formation for my kids will help us as a family encounter Christ in a really deep and meaningful way. I think what I'm starting to really enjoy about this passage is that we all make assumptions. I definitely make assumptions all the time. If I walk into a room with, I just did a theology on tap a couple weeks ago. It's like, oh, yeah, I think it's going to be like this and this and this. And it always blows my mind, the questions people have and the conversations they have. And so it's good for me to think about, you know, try and have, like, no assumptions. And so when we as ministers go out, it's like, we'll really have no assumptions. Because what the story tells us in the Bible is that, like, they weren't supposed to be talking together, Jesus and the woman. And so what happens if they went off of that and said, you know what, we're here in the middle of the day, let's just do our work. We're not supposed to be talking to each other. Let's do what we have to do and then, like, go back and find shade or go back home. But they sat and they really engaged. And parents and children really have a lot of questions, especially if they've been away and, like, well, why are you asking us to do this? So, you know, what are these requirements? Why am I asking, you know, to be here? And what does this mean? And what does this mean of me? And I think here we see her asking a lot of questions of Jesus. Well, who are you? How do you know my name? And she doesn't stop asking. You know, she just is like, well, how do you know all these things about me? And Jesus is like, hey, I know this about you. Like, I know this is where you've been struggling. I know this is where your heart is broken. And this is where, you know, I can come and I can and sit with you and be with you and help you find what you're looking for. That is not now, right? The other thing is, like, so much of what we want as families is like, well, I need to have the answer. I need to have it now. And I don't know how to wait. And Jesus is like, well, hold on. Like, I get that you want water and I get that we're both thirsty, but there's something better out there. There's something in the future, in like far future, that I have for us that I can't wait to share with you.
You also mentioned earlier about the importance of listening as a tool of assessment more than anything. But how important is listening in this case? I know that Pope Francis has in different moments, but especially in the World Meeting of Families a couple of years back, I think it was maybe 2015, you know, and most recently in the in his movie A Man of His Word, he brings up this topic of listening, of being families being able to listen. How is listening not necessarily as a tool for assessment, but listening as a tool for relationship building, especially when it comes to families? How do you view that as important?
I think we can't begin to have families want to be in relationship with us as ministers and as we go out in parishes and do this type of work unless we show them the value of community and tell them we're genuinely listening. And so in the example I gave about the missionary discipleship pilot that we're starting this school year, a lot of what we found was in finding things that would make it easier for the principals and the teachers to do their job. And so that means finding resources that are free or at no cost, finding schools that want to work together. We're looking at the geography of places and making sure things are grouped so people, when they're traveling to be in community with other schools, like, aren't going to be spending like 2 hours on the road. And so I think it's really looking at what they want, but then also being willing to ask and taking the time to say, well, if I'm going to ask you something, like, it's really going to impact the answer and, like, how we move forward.
So just imagine that if we actually begin to listen to each other more within the context of family, how that dynamic may actually begin to look like so differently. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we will be right back. So please stay tuned with us.
To love God, we must honor all that God has created. To love our neighbor requires us as Christians to preserve and protect all that sustains life. Join us on Sunday, September 1st from 4 to 6 p.m. at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish in Glenview for the celebration of the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. We invite you to join Bishop Mark Bartosik and many other Catholics and Greek Orthodox for this special 5th annual prayer service. Greek Orthodox scholar Reverend Dr. Deacon Perry Homilis will give the post-service lecture. We'll celebrate God's gift of creation and our universal responsibility to preserve and protect our common home. We look forward to your attendance at this year's World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Glenview on Sunday, September 1st at 4 p.m.
Do you serve your parish as a cantor or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? If so, Liturgy Training Publications is offering online formation this fall that will deepen your understanding and practice of your ministry. From the cantor's tune-up to preparing to serve as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, there is a workshop designed to meet your needs and enrich your ministerial experience. There are 3 options available for cantors and psalmists, and 3 offerings available for communion ministers. Take one or take all 3. For dates and registration information, please visit ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800. That's ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show. As we are now on the bottom of the 9th inning, we are getting ready to wrap up a wonderful conversation. So if you're just joining us, thank you. We are talking about children's ministry and accompaniment through the eyes of community. And, you know, Clarissa, I really appreciated how you've connected the scripture passage of the woman in the well and how it can potentially help with the context of children's ministry, especially within the context of family. Just to bring a point up, I was recently at a conference where they were talking about accompaniment, which is something that we have been bringing up here in our conversation as well. And, you know, the idea of the conference I was at was eventually to end up at a document that kind of like outlines how to accompany. And one of the panelists that was there, she shared a wonderful, I want to quote her, but basically what she said was, you know, if you want to accompany, invite a young adult to have a cup of coffee. This was a conference on young, how to approach ministry with young people, and especially in this case, it was young adults. She said, just go have a cup of coffee with a young adult and get to know them, listen to them. In terms of real world applications or actions that we could take with children's ministry, especially with accompaniment through the eyes of community, what are some of the things that, you know, you would like to say that are concrete and can be done that are not that complex?
Yeah. There's a research study that I can't quote, and I'm sorry that I can't. But some of the research that we've looked at has said that for a child to be engaged in their faith beyond their teenage years, one of the things that matters is having a relationship with an adult. And not just their parents, I mean other adults in the community. And I think it's something like, I don't know, 9 or 10 adults. If 9 or 10 adults desire to have a relationship in the parishes that they're at with a child, like that really makes the difference. And so what I would really like to encourage people to say is, you know, when you go to daily mass or Sunday mass, actually daily mass is probably not a great example, but when you go to Sunday mass, and let's say you see young people in the choir or serving as acolytes or maybe as greeters, you know, go up to them, go up to their families when they're kind of leaving and getting in their cars and say, you know, thank you for doing this. Thank you for your vocation of serving. Because I think it's important for the parents to feel recognized, because if your kids are not driving, you are their Uber or their Lyft. And so for the parents to commit to try and get there early, you know, as a parent, oh my gosh, every Sunday it's always like, can I get to church on time or early? So I know what that's like. But the other piece of that is, so it's the parent piece, but then it's also the child's piece. It's knowing that someone in the community has affirmed them and said like, hey, I recognize that you're doing this and you're doing a really great job and I want to say thank you. And so I know for me, with the altar servers who serve at our 11:30 Mass at St. James, I try and go up to them and ask them, you know, about what they're doing, how school is. I always say, you know, thank you for serving, because I want them to recognize that even as children, their contribution is so big. Like, we are able to worship. We are able to have candle bearers and cross bearers. And so without them and without their families, like, liturgy just wouldn't function the same. And so when you head to Mass next time, Sunday Mass, you know, look at all the kids who are involved in liturgy and appreciate them, appreciate their wisdom, and appreciate the families, or even the families that are sitting next to you. If they're trying to keep their baby in their lap or quiet, just say, hey, I know this seems hard, but you're doing a great job trying to bring your family to Mass.
You know, and thank you for saying that, because I really have to say, if we're just giving it to the liturgical celebration of the Eucharist and the Mass, it's always a joyful moment to celebrate the Mass. It's always Easter. Every moment we celebrate the Mass on Sunday is Easter. We all know that, and it's a very joyful experience. However, I have gone to certain parishes for Sunday Mass, usually early in the morning, and I cannot help but notice the absence on some of these Masses of altar servers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to honestly say, you know, even though the Mass itself is always joyful, it looks much more joyful when there are children up there, you know, engaged in the liturgy. There is something special that I just can't pinpoint it, but it's really wonderful to see children engaged in the liturgy. At a personal level, I feel very inspired when I see children engaged in liturgy. And it takes me back to the days when I was an altar server myself. So, mm-hmm. You know, any other thoughts before we close this show, Clarissa, that you would like to share with us on the topic of children's ministry?
No, I think this has really been a wonderful opportunity to talk about some of what we're doing and why it looks different than some of the processes and the things that we've tried in the past. And I think I'm really excited about the potential of doing things holistically and in community, so we can really get to know more families and listen to kind of their needs as a whole.
And one of the takeaways I'm leaving from this show with is not only the pleasure of being a host to you and asking you questions as my guest, but I'm also taking away something very powerful, and that's the idea of actually accompanying children in a different way. I'm very excited about children evangelizing children, and I'm glad that, you know, we're moving in that direction. So for all of you out there, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this show. We encourage you, if you're already engaged in your parishes, to continue to stay engaged and continue to work as hard. Thank you for all of your services. For all those of you are out there that are on the fence about returning to church or coming back to church, you know, the invitation is always there. You're always welcomed. So for all of you out there, thank you very much. This is Juan Pablo Padilla signing off. And thank you, Clarissa, for having me as your guest. And thank you, as your host. And thank you for being our guest today. So to all of you out there, thank you so much. God bless.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.